Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're observing the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. That's why the altar is decorated in red instead of green. That's why I'm asking you to sing a new liturgy in a crazy setting of This Is the Feast. Set aside the regular readings and the regular liturgy for the Trinity season, and instead do something different to commemorate these two men, these two saints. But, you might be asking yourself, we're not Roman Catholics, so why are we celebrating Saints' Days? Well, the Augsburg Confession puts it like this. Our confession approves giving honor to the saints. This honor is threefold. First, it's thanksgiving. We should thank God for showing his examples of mercy, his mercy, revealing his will to save people, and giving teachers and other gifts to the church. The second honor is the strengthening of our faith. When we see Peter forgiven after his denial, we are encouraged to believe that God's grace does indeed abound more than sin. And third, the honor is imitation, first of their faith, and then of their other virtues, which each of us should imitate in accordance with his own calling. So we don't honor the saints because they're holier or better than us. We honor the saints because they're just like us, holy people of our Lord's church. So today we give honor and thanks to God for the lives of these two men, because these two men demonstrate different paths to the same destination as children of God. Think about Peter. Peter spent many years with Jesus as a disciple. Peter followed Jesus from the beginning of his earthly ministry. He witnessed firsthand all the major events that God had done in Christ. He saw the transfiguration. He saw Jesus raise the dead and heal the sick. He was at the crucifixion. He saw the resurrected Lord. But Peter also denied Jesus in the presence of others when times got tough. Right there in the courtyard of the high priest, Peter adamantly insisted, "I do not know that man," only to be reminded of his betrayal as the voice of the rooster announced the arrival of the dawn, bringing with it for Peter the guilt and the shame of betrayal. And then, just a few days later, Jesus sat with Peter on the shores of the sea and told him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus forgave Peter's denial. He restored Peter. And Peter finally understood what forgiveness really is. And in that, he understood who Jesus really is. He had known Jesus for years. He was quite familiar with the gospel stories. He lived them. But the message took root in a different way when Peter experienced it on a personal level. So also for many Christians today. Many of us in this room, myself included, have spent our entire lives in the church. I was baptized as a baby in a Lutheran church. I went to a Lutheran preschool and grade school, Lutheran high school, Lutheran college, and Lutheran seminary. I've never had what many might call the come to Jesus moment. Never prayed the sinner's prayer. Never asked Jesus into my heart. No, rather than the floodgates of forgiveness overwhelming me at one specific point in my life, my experience, like Peter's, might be more appropriately considered a persistent trickle. Kind of a slow drip. I, as many others here today, have heard the gospel of forgiveness proclaimed to me for my entire life. Like Peter, who first experienced Jesus in the flesh, who was familiar with the story of salvation because he lived it as a supporting character, many of us here have been hearing the story of salvation since we were old enough to participate in Sunday school as kids. And like Peter, who even though he knew the story, yet found himself in need of our Lord's forgiveness, those of us here today who have known the story of salvation since childhood still find ourselves in need of our Lord's mercy, mercy which he gives to us joyfully, with the same care and loving kindness that he showed Peter all those years ago. Yes, many Christians are Christians in the line of Peter. But there are others who are more like Paul. Paul was an enemy of the gospel for much of his life. Not only did Paul personally reject Jesus as Messiah, he actively hunted and persecuted Christians with a terrifying zeal, until, that is, he was met by Jesus on the road. Paul had a conversion experience unlike any other, a literal come-to-Jesus moment when Jesus came to him and knocked him off his horse. And through him, the gospel came to many nations beyond Israel, ultimately to the ends of the earth. Paul was not a disciple from the beginning. In fact, there were things he had done in his life that he was probably not proud of. Things that probably haunted his dreams and drenched him in shame each time they flashed before his mind's eye. But Jesus found Paul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus forgave Paul and used him to spread the gospel. And the world was never the same. And so also for many Christians today. Many people in this room did not grow up in our Lord's church, did not grow up in a Christian home. Many were not familiar with the story of Jesus, living their life in ignorance of the gospel. But then something happened. The Holy Spirit burst through. Something burst forth in blinding light and shattered the walls. And while some people may speak of these conversion experiences as if they're somehow necessary to be a true Christian, as if those who have been raised in the knowledge of the scriptures are somehow less Christian than those who came out of a life of open sin and unbelief, the reality is the opposite. The reality is that both Peter's experience as well as Paul's, in all of it, Jesus is the key. Jesus is the one who brought forgiveness to both of these men. And Jesus is the one who forgives us, too. These men are, after all, as our confessions put it, examples of God's mercy. Examples of how all God's children are washed in his mercy. Whether a flood conversion experience like Paul or the slow drip like Peter, in either case, it's our Lord's doing. It's our Lord's work. The stories of Peter's time with Jesus are not stories about Peter. They're the history of our Lord. His persistent patience and mercy with a man not so different from us. And the history of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. It's not just Paul's story. It's the story of our Lord breaking through the shackles of sin and giving a man hope where there had been none before. The same hope he gives us today. Left to himself, Peter comes across as not much more than an impulsive man who gets himself into and out of scrapes. That may be a good premise for a sitcom, but that's not the Christian life. And left to himself, Paul comes across as a man who experienced a tremendous change of heart and change of life and who set out to make amends and to appease a guilty conscience. Again, that might make for a good movie, but that's not the Christian life. For in either case, these stories aren't really about Peter or Paul. They're stories about Jesus, about being constantly forgiven by Jesus, like Peter, so that you can't look back to that one moment where everything changed, but you can cling to the gift of forgiveness you received time and time again. They're stories about being made new by Jesus, so that, like Paul, we too can put aside the foolishness of worldly lives and ambitions, be made new by the work of Christ in us. And set about living the life he has given us to live. The examples of these men strengthen our faith as we experience the mercy of our Lord in our lives, and as we attempt to imitate the way that each of them relied on Jesus for his forgiveness, and as each one lived a life of service as God's new creation. That's the last thing our confessions encourage us to do when we think about these men of the Bible, to imitate their godliness, the way that they used their gifts. And that is appropriate, for we have all benefited from what these two men did. In today's gospel reading, Jesus assures us that the gates of hell will never overcome the church. Well, considering that the church is found wherever the gospel is preached and believed, and the gospel went forth into the world through the efforts of men like Peter and Paul, and the rest of the apostles, it is safe to say that without their efforts, without their faithfulness to the point of death, without their insistence that the gospel be proclaimed to the ends of the earth, no one in this room would know of our sin or of our Savior. We would not know of all that Jesus has done for us. We would not know the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And so it is good to thank God for what these men did in their vocation as apostles. And it's good for us to aspire to live faithfully in our vocations. For while we may not be apostles, we are given our own vocations to fulfill. If you're a parent, do so faithfully, recognizing that training up children in the fear of the Lord is just as important as getting them to the doctor when they're sick or getting them to school on time. If you're a child, Live faithfully in that vocation, recognizing that even though you didn't choose your parents, God chose them for you. So we respect and obey them as if we were obeying God himself. We are all of us Christians, called to live lives of forgiveness and service, bearing with one another in love, and forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. So we may not be apostles, but thanks to the work of the apostles who wrote down and first proclaimed the message of salvation, we can live in the confidence that the gates of hell will never overcome our Lord's church. It's a confidence which frees us to be faithful in our vocations as they were faithful in theirs. Because of the work of these apostles, we can rest in the assurance that even when we fail in our vocations, we know that we remain covered by the blood of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit alive in us, and he inspires us to try again. And so it's good to take time out to commemorate Peter and Paul today. Not to worship them, they're not God. But neither is their humanity a reason to ignore them. We remember that not only because of their faithful service to our Lord, but because they are shining examples of our Lord's service, we see in them how much he loves us. We see ourselves. So we remember them to thank God for all that he accomplished through them, to praise God for the souls that have been saved through their work, including our souls, to pray that the same God would make us faithful in our callings as he made them faithful in theirs. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.